Thank you, Pastor Johnny. Just maybe some verses of encouragement before we. I think most of the things that has been said already, you know, and I just don't want to add on that. Reminded of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You know, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, let us think on these things. Personally, for me, I came here to learn, and the Lord has been faithful in providing His Word to us. And I hope and pray that we will continually think on these things. You know, the things that we learn here, we apply outside. When we go back to our homes, to our families, that's where the challenge starts. And that will be the measuring ground if we will continue to follow God's word or not. And parents, just to encourage you to be faithful to the Lord and continue in church. And this one passage that I remember in Psalms 24, if you open with that with me. Psalms 84. Psalms 84, verse 1 to 4. The Bible says how, you know, all of these things we learn because of the church. And the reality of it is that the church is under attack by the devil. And he wants to destroy families because he knows that if he destroys families, if he destroys relationship inside the church will fall. And that's, I believe, what was in the heart of Pastor Johnny when he came up with this family conference. He wants to protect the families and the church. And the church will not survive without the families. He mentioned this. I don't know who Pastor was saying. The strength of the church is dependable on the strength of the families. How strong are the families inside? And in Psalms 84, it encouraged us to see that how amiable are the tabernacles of Lord of Hosts. Amiable means love, you know. How lovely, how good are the tabernacles. And because of this goodness of God's in God's house, in the church, in verse 2, the Bible says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. Let us cry out for the living God. I know all of these things will be a challenge to us to apply. But I believe with all my heart, when we cry out to the living God, He will hear. Verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found a house and swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Take up note of the word, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Let us continue to dwell in the house of the Lord so that we can help each other, we can pray for one another, we can encourage one another but in God's word. So that's it. Thank you for letting me speak.
Who's the adversary? Yeah, the devil gets blamed for everything, don't he? You know, after this meeting, teenagers, who are the adversaries? Parents? Parents need to get straightened out? Parents? Teenagers, adversaries? Lord going to help you out against your parents, huh? Parents, Lord's going to help you out against your kids. I got a point for all this. Turn to Joshua chapter 5. Every one of us will be accountable before God. Joshua 5, and I'll be short, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? You on my side, Lord? I'm right. They're wrong. Whoever you are. So you're on my side, right, Lord? See, that was a problem in Israel. We can't submit to Nebuchadnezzar because that's our enemy. Lord, you on our side? Because we're not going. Look what the Lord says to Joshua. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face. As a matter of each individual here falling on their face before God and saying, God, I want to be on your side. See, Daniel and the children that led into captivity were on God's side because God was using the adversary to deal with things. So I want you to think about that. It's us making sure we're on God's side. I don't care how bad your kid is or a parent, how bad your parent is. I'll give you a quick testimony. You know, I broke my arm. Went back to the United States, and because of tests and stuff, they wanted to make sure what kind of operation, because there was thought they might have to take my whole arm off. And they wanted to make sure, so I had a brief time to go see my wife's mother. Her father's passed away, and also go see my mom and dad. They're divorced and separate. And believe it or not, after all that, I still love my parents because I'm saved. And I honor them because they're my parents. Well, we saw her mom, and then we were driving down to see my dad from North Carolina down to Florida. And on our way down there, my dad calls and says, don't come. I don't want to see you. I don't feel good. I said, Dad, I got cancer. I don't even know if I'm going to live or not. What do you mean? Well, I'm just not feeling good. I said, Dad, I ain't feeling good either, but I want to come see you. So we didn't get to go see him. 3 months later, we'd set up a time that I'd come visit him. He called the day before and said, don't come. I got other plans. He'd made plans to have a birthday party with one of my stepsisters. It's not even his kid. I am his only kid. He has no other child. I'm his only child. 52 years, I'm still seeking my father to have a relationship with him. But you know what? I got to be on God's side. My pastor, and he's known for years, this is something that happens over and over and over again. He said, you know, Neil, he was giving me godly counsel. I think you need to call him, tell him you love him, and quit putting yourself through the ringer. Well, I was doing a Bible study on long-suffering. And I saw how long-suffering God is towards me. How wonderful and kind he is to me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go see my dad anyway. And we just showed up. We just showed up, and right before we left, we went and showed up again. Called him on Father's Day. You know, brethren, it doesn't matter. We're accountable for ourselves. And though someone might appear to be an adversary, God says, bless them that rail on you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And we need to make sure we're on God's side no matter what happens. And the devil is after the home. So make sure you're on his side.
First Peter chapter 5. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren there in the world. And let me just encourage you one very important thing here. In every one of these things, cast your care on the Lord. Okay? And I know some of us may be going through a time of crisis and trouble and all that. All right? Hearing all this the last 2 days is only the beginning. Okay, God's word demands a response, action on our part. Okay, it begins with faith, believing God's promises, acting on it. All right, our children will know whether or not all this is real to us or not, because they can see for themselves. If this is by faith that we take God's word, or we're just taking it as some sort of magic formula. Okay? We're not playing Harry Potter here. Okay? This is the word of God. Okay? And sometimes in the midst of the trouble or whatever, and we're trying to find our way out. Alright? Now, there is no other way except God's way. But you do understand one thing. You may be alone in the situation because God allowed you to be in that situation alone. Not because no one cares for you. Okay? But it is that way because you have, God is directing you for you to understand that you must depend on Him alone. Not on anybody else. Alright? Every pastor, every missionary, whoever must go through that, whether they like it or not. And can I say this? I've been there. Been there. I don't blame the people who were not there, who are unable to be there. Right? But understand this, He careth for you. But notice this part. We need to be sober and vigilant because why? We do have an enemy. Alright, man, can I say this? We are two enemies. You have the adversary, the devil, but remember one thing, you have a traitor that's working on the inside. Your flesh. And there's one thing that's going to destroy your marriage, your walk with God, your family, your testimony and credibility as a parent is your flesh. Right? He cooperates with your adversary, the devil. You know? The Great Wall of China stood there for thousands of years. Each time it was breached, it was because of an insider job. Okay? You and I, inside, can do more damage to our homes and our marriages and our families than anything outside. Why is the outside important and is a dangerous thing? Right? Pastor Johnny said, evil communications corrupt good manners. It's true. Because it connects with your inside, with your flesh. Who you are will connect with what's out there. Young people, I hope you hear that, because your choice of friends, your choice of influences, and parents, it's true of us. Okay? It's true of us. But one thing here, this is a roaring lion. No, why? How is a roaring lion dangerous? It makes a lot of noise. So why should he be dangerous? The roaring lion is the leader. It's usually the oldest, the most is toothless, makes the most noise. But you know something? I learned one thing. Lions work as a team. One makes noise, scatters the flock, sends everyone running for cover. And they will home in on the youngest, the oldest, the weakest, and the sickly. There is a strategy of isolation that's involved. And we see this all the time. A husband and wife can become so busy with what they do that they are isolated from their walk with God. No time to do this, that, spend time in the things of God. Time spent with God is rescheduled. Alright? It's a nice to have, but it's not essential. Your conflict and problems with each other can isolate you. Your job can isolate you from the rest of your family, from your spouse. The issues between parents and children lead to even further isolation. Okay? Oh, yeah, sure. You know what? I told the children one thing. Okay? And this applies to the young people. So you can pick. Okay? You can pick on the faults of the pastor, the Sunday school teachers, and all that. And you know what? Your adversary wins. He will cut you off. You may even be right. So what? Your lunch, as far as the devil is concerned, you are lunch. The flock stays together for mutual protection. I'm heartbroken because I know, I mean, I just had a call in the last 2 days, 2 days back, right? A family that decided that they were going to leave Singapore, move to JB, buy and build their ideal home, you know, all that kind of stuff, and, you know, for a fraction of what it will cost here. Homeschool their family, blah, you know, their kids, blah, blah, blah. And everything's on the verge of falling apart right now. And at that point, I said, you know, you have to realize one of the things, because I asked, is there anybody in your church that can help you? Nobody. I said, you have to realize that the choice to physically move and isolate yourself contributed partly to this whole thing. Says yes, we realize that now. Okay, the connectedness, the oneness I talked about in marriage is essential. Okay, I don't know what mom, and, or husband, and wife we are fighting about. Can I say this? It can end in an instant. The moment we say, "I was wrong. Please forgive me, and I forgive you," whoever. Because why? We have the blood of Jesus Christ to cover all this. Okay? You can choose to drop it and stop. But you can't do that if you've never been taken to the cross of Calvary and having confessed your sins, beg and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and to save you. Forgiveness is very hard to give if you never received it. You cannot give grace. And I say, any marriage and family needs grace. You want to have a family photo or picture? It's always a picture of grace. Why? Because many times, we have to exercise it on each other. As husband and wife, okay, and mom and dad and with the children, it's always going to be the case. Even when we're wrong, you know, you know, if you look at verse 5, you know, this is how it's all connected. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Clothed. Okay? Not just exercise it, have some of it. Be clothed with humility. Why? For, right? Because God resisted the proud and gave a grace to the humble. You realize you can't even pray for help when you are prideful. It is easy right now. We go through all this stuff and look, listen, the important part of what we need to deal with is, Lord, what about me? What have I done? Is there anything I need to set right? As a husband, okay, in my case, as a father, or in our home, okay, we can see and say, okay, well, you know, Pastor Johnny said blah blah blah, this or this. Okay, what about his children? Now, let's look at Jeremiah. Let's go, and you can pick on those things. But you know what? The question you and I have to ask us is this: maybe Johnny has problems. All right. Can I say this? As a man of God, if he's biblically a pastor and fitting the spiritual qualification, he is there in such a way that God can deal with him about those problems, and he's going to address those things. Because he, like you and I, have issues. But my question is this: what about you? What about the rest of us? Are we fixing those things? We can sit here and say, well, he's got problems, so, you know, I can sit content with the way I am. I do not have to change. You're not helping yourself. You are not. Because if he is fixing this, he's moving forward, but you're not. Alright? You're not. Okay? But because he's not all there, he's not all perfect, and God has been taking him through this, you know, he is the one who is able to help teach, disciple others, other parents, other husbands, you know, and wives, to go that direction. On what basis? Not because of experience. Because of the authority of this. That's why otherwise we would not ask John Mark to preach. That authority comes with the authority of the Word of God. Okay, but you have to understand this. This adversary will isolate. That's why it was so important that John the Baptist, his ministry, in the last two verses of Malachi, talks about that God wanted him to turn the hearts of the fathers to the to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Alright? We, in our modern age, right, in our modern lifestyle, we're losing that connectedness. Really. The more connected we are electronically, the less connected we are to one another. Alright? I'm not saying that with electronic communication, you cannot connect people. Otherwise, you know, there were certain, like Pastor John Mark and I, we encourage each other a lot. We share our heart about a lot of things, and we do it over Facebook. Okay? I'm not sending him cat pictures. Okay? We encourage him, go heart to heart. But understand this, that a lot of this focuses outward, and then we forget about this part. Now, it doesn't end there, because the family is always rooted, anchored, connected to the rest of the New Testament church. Okay? It talks about us being an organic building. Every brick is connected. Okay? Talking about the members. You rip one part and, you know, there will be a problem. Alright? And so, let's not neglect the New Testament church. Let's not turn inward, because it's mutually dependent. Now, I just want to end one thought here, because in John chapter 4, when Christ talked to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, now, verse 19 onwards, she said, you know, I perceive that thou art prophet, right? And then she got into a theological debate with him. Oh, well, you know, our forefathers, we worship God here. You say you must worship in Jerusalem, you know? So, which is which, you know, and so on and so forth. No. Notice one thing he mentions here in verse 24, that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Alright, in spirit and in truth. And let me encourage everyone towards one thing. Being authentic. Because sometimes, and this happens in, I don't take it for granted, in a conservative Bible preaching church like ours and all that, that we can end up with a church culture that is focused very much on the external works of righteousness. Okay? Now, the woman at the well, was she religious? Oh, yes. Did she know theology? Apparently. Samaritan theology. But she did know theology. Now, the question was this. Was she right with God? A woman who had five husbands and is now shacking up with another man. And you know what the Lord was pointing out to her is, look, that part, let's be authentic. Let's be right. And let's be transparent. And, you know, if we have a problem, we have a problem. Right? If we need to get right with God, we need to get right with God. But the one of the most destructive things that can happen is this. To role play on Sunday, okay? I'm against Christian cosplay. Dressing up, walking, talking like an independent fundamental Baptist, carrying the right kind of Bible, singing the right kind of music and whatever. And deep down inside, you know, our children see through the act. Okay? That's very dangerous, because if there's one reason to push them away, turn them away, this will be it. We need to be very, very authentic and very, very honest with God. Okay? Our wives, our children need to see us growing, transforming, you know, maturing. Okay? It's okay if you're not there. It's, you know, don't be discouraged. You have to start somewhere. Right? But they need to see you grow and transform. Paul told Timothy, you know, not to neglect reading and studying. And he said, you know, give thyself wholly unto them. Why? That thy profiting may appear to all. Why? Because same thing for the pastor. That growth, that change, that maturing, you know, Johnny is different from 10 years ago. Right? It helps everyone, it benefits everyone, and is apparent to all. Okay? Don't stop growing. You're not going to grow by anything else but by feeding on this. And can I say this? Feed on this all you want. There's no penalty for overeating. Okay? You're not going to get fat or unhealthy. But to love this thing, you know, God has to give you the Holy Spirit of God. Natural man can try all he wants. Doesn't get anything out of this. All right? Which is why, you know, salvation is a very important thing. Okay? Whether in some of our cases we're married to someone who's not saved. All right? To the husbands who have men who are in that situation. All right? We're praying and we're encouraging the men. Love your wife. Okay? What did 1 Peter 3 say? If any man, talking about husbands, he obey not the word, and then the wife, without the word, again, can still win him by her conversation. Okay? There is hope. There is hope. Okay? But I don't believe in God's power and to be able to transform us. I wouldn't even be in the ministry right now. So what's the point? All right? But understand this, the power comes from that, okay, from salvation. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God. Right? Power of God. Onto salvation. So, it must start there, but it goes on, because after we're saved, he continues to save us and transform us, sanctify us, okay, to be a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, and so on, and, you know, a better parent. Okay? So, it's a journey. Alright? The journey gets difficult at times. Sometimes we go on a detour. Sometimes we fall by the way. Okay? Thank God there are brothers and sisters who can bring us back, direct us, or point us. But unless we're honest and humble before God, we are not going to like what we have to hear, what we may have to hear. Okay? Humility allows us to come to the Word and accept what God has to say. And then, you know what, God is the one who will not resist us. He's not going to turn us away. Okay? Men, let it start with us. All right? Thank you.